Good afternoon. Today is Friday, August the 30th, 239th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Simple Country Therapist Lou Quimby.
Thank you so much.
You're going to be awake for the whole show today?
No, and short naps are great.
Just, yeah. Okay. Let's see if we can squeeze one in the next 40 minutes or so when we come back.
There you go.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Afternoon. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. But before we do, our quote this afternoon.
Well, I just rolled across this looking through the book, and it's interesting about the kind of ordinary, everyday illusions that we have. This is by Julia Child on Nouvelle Cuisine. It's so beautifully arranged on the plate. You know somebody's fingers have been all over it. Yet we don't much think about that.
No, yeah.
Unless we go to the bathroom and it says, "Please wash your hands."
I always
employees, please wash your hands.
Yeah. I think perhaps customers ought to as well.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. But there are some things we just rather not spend too much time
consider.
On.
Yeah, it's like most of us probably haven't been to the slaughterhouse this month.
That's probably true.
Yeah. Et cetera, et cetera.
Where does beef come from? It comes from Safeway, dear.
Yeah. Oops. Yeah. Potatoes from the bag.
From the bag. Yeah. How many kids know about farm life? Yeah.
Well, it was funny. We took the kid up to Portland so he could fly back to go to the senior year.
Yeah.
And we hadn't spent much time in the Seattle area. So, okay,
have a look around.
Shoot up there. So we did the Space Needle and some kind of really cool glass garden. I'll show you some of the pictures. Oh, okay. Andrew's got a calendar for next year, but this guy blows glass, and it's really quite stunning.
Oh, okay.
But right after that, we went to the zoo, the Portland Zoo.
Yeah.
And there they were with a lot of dioramas and stuff that made it look like outside.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look.
And you're inside.
There's a frog in the creek.
And
wow.
You're inside.
And some of them were standing next to people, and they're getting all excited about the frog.
Yeah, pretty.
Hey, look, there's a sea otter. Ooh. Salmon, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
That's right.
And it struck me as we were coming back down the coast that, are we living in the zoo, or are they in the fishbowl?
Are they? Yeah, right. Who's where?
Yeah.
It's a perspective thing. Exactly.
Expectations, though, was kind of what I was had been rumbling in my head. What were their expectations at the zoo?
Well, how can we do this cheap? That's one. Dioramas are a lot cheaper than
And for us, how do we? What are our expectations of normalcy?
Right.
And that kind of got as close to your quote as I'm going to be able to get.
That's true. Okay. And what does nature mean? Well, it's hard to say. we are so far away from a lot of that. Some ideas of camping is park your car, put up a Coleman heater or a cook thing, and then camp. That's camping is out of a car.
That sounds like a little rigorous to me.
So that's too much for you?
That's
way too much for you.
Anything involving the potential of mosquitoes and scorpions
I'll
at nighttime,
I'll camp at Denny's, thank you. That's my idea of camping.
Yeah. Well,
roughing it.
We'll go outside during the day and we'll come back to the hotel room at night.
That's right.
I'm really kind of a weenie in that regard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That sets that tone.
Yeah.
You're a diorama kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah, keep them all behind the glass. I'll be happy to look at the tiger all day long.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't put me in there. Expectations are kind of an intriguing, as we're on the cusp of a 3-day weekend, though.
Yeah.
Expectations of...
Make sure you got reservations.
Yeah.
If you have expectations.
If you'll be leaving, yeah.
Yes.
Expectations of school? Yeah, what's the next school year going to be? You got your first school year, high school,
yeah.
High school senior.
You go from being a ninth grader into a 10th grader, and all of a sudden you're, instead of being the big frog in a small pond, now you're a little frog in a big pond.
But you're not at the bottom of the totem pole anymore, so at least...
Freshman, you are.
Well, yeah,
if you go from junior high to high school, yeah.
I'm following that.
Why are you fighting with me?
Because you said 10th.
10th?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, freshman.
You went back to the
third. Go from the ninth grade into the 10th grade. Yeah. Well, some schools are... Ah, geez, give me a break. Give me a break.
I want to get him 30 seconds on that one.
You got me cold. I hope you're proud of yourself, yeah. Reducing me to rubble.
Well, I didn't realize I was picking on the week.
That's right.
This afternoon.
That's me. Been a long, slow day.
Yeah, apparently it has. Oh, but with expectations, where do they come from?
A lot of them come from thinking about how things could be, would be, should be. And a lot of them come from hoping without any kind of planning.
Well, everybody's gone through school.
You can hope for good weather, but you can't always plan for it.
Right, and you have no influence on that.
Right.
Well, okay, you're a kid, you want them to have a great experience in their kindergarten year.
Right, and so what you can do is prepare them for that by talking about what it's going to be like and what it is like. And some some parents take their kids to an empty classroom and say, this is where you're going to be next month. Oh, so now they got some idea of the physical situation.
Gee, Daddy, looks like a jail cell to me.
Yeah.
And nobody's here.
There's a blanket for nap time.
Yeah.
Oh.
Kind of normalize the experience.
Yeah. And then talk about what it's like and how to make friends. I remember a Peanuts cartoon. And the first panel was, there's a new girl moved in down the block. Oh, really? Well, I'll go down and meet her. And it came back the next balloon and says, did you meet her? Yeah. Did you talk to her? And the last balloon is, I didn't know what to say, so I hit her. Right? Now, that was Charlie Brown. So it's useful for children to have some direction about social experiences. Like people teach kids how to behave in a restaurant and how to behave at a soccer game or a baseball game or whatever like that. So it's useful to tell them what school is going to be about, and there are going to be new kids there, and how do you make friends with kids, and how to not make friends with kids, how to stay out of trouble.
And how to communicate.
Yes.
Socially.
Yes.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24.
It is indeed.
We're back to talk shop this afternoon
we
with
certainly
Luke
are.
Quimby. Okay, fine. You you cannot get even.
I'm up.
By interrupting.
I beg your pardon.
You have to be far more creative than that.
It's a little power thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe you need to get the bigger drill bit next time, huh? Then you build yourself up. Expectations certainly are challenging for everybody at the onset of a...
Most of the expectations are, I want.
Not I hope, I want?
Well, I want, I hope, I wish. Right?
All same?
As opposed to, oh, you want that? What's your plan? Daddy, I want a new bike. Oh, good for you. What's your plan? Well, I want you to buy it for me. That's not a plan.
Well, it is. It may not be a successful one, but it's at least no, the kid has had a thought.
That's not a plan. That's a hope and a wish, right? A plan has to do with the components of, a bike costs money. How much money? X hundred dollars. How am I going to get X hundred dollars? Now, instead of, I want a bike, will you buy it for me? Dad, will you give me $256? Now it's concrete for Dad. It's no longer the idea of a bike for his boy. Oh, I'd love to give you a bike, son. Now, would you love to give him $256.38? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
See, all of a sudden it becomes a whole different issue than if you do this in a fantasy picture of a brand new shiny bike. Now you're looking at your wallet with $256 lighter.
Yeah, specificity sometimes.
Oh, indeed.
Has a little pain associated with it, yeah.
What's your plan for raising the money, son? I thought I'd tap you, Dad. That's not a plan. That's a manipulation.
Yeah. But there is clarity associated with that, too.
Oh, it's clear.
Yeah.
It's a clear hope and a clear move and a clear hustle. Right. Well, hustles.
Well, Dad, I was thinking either I'd get it from you or I'd stand outside in front of the house with a sign saying, need money for bike.
Let me help you
on
write
cardboard.
Let me help you write the sign so you spell it properly, son.
Yeah.
Then take a chair with you because you're going to be there for a while.
Long time.
Take a chair and a bottle of water because you're going to be there a while. Or get one of those bouncy signs like they do at the pizza place, you know.
Oh, the twirlies, yeah.
The twirlies. Need money, help me, right?
What would happen?
How much did you make
today,
son?
Kid would probably get $500 in the first hour and a half.
How much did you make today, son? I got $3.
Yeah.
Okay, three into 256. Are you going to be there until December 37th?
Yeah. What a factor of raincoat in there, too, son.
That's right. Something big enough to cover the chair, too.
With items, with expectations, do people often take the time to develop a plan, let alone execute the plan?
Well, sometimes you just let them go. You know, like, gee, I wish I had a Ferrari, man. That would be so cool. A Ferrari, man. Or a Maserati, even. God, that'd be so cool. And then you can fantasize about driving it, and then you got to get up and go to work, and you go, well, never. Next. And I'll give that one up. So there's daydreams that are fun and fantasy, but you get hooked into something, and you start manipulating for it. That means you want somebody else to fix it for you. Now you're into manipulation and schmoozing and maneuvering and hustling, lying, cheating, and stealing. And
external rather than
external.
External
rather than internal. Okay, I do want to. Now, you can have a Ferrari if you want it. All you have to do is figure out the money. You can have a Ferrari if you want it. Get a divorce, farm the kids out, sell the station.
Purchase price.
Now you got the money for a Ferrari. Is it worth it?
No, I still have to stretch it.
Is it worth? Oh, still have to stretch it.
Whoops. Not that I spent any time considering that.
Fire sale.
Yeah.
Radio station. $5.
Stretch out that Maserati so I can.
That's
fit.
Right. Yeah. So most people can have what they fantasize for, unless they're really gone wild. Like if they fantasize about being president, well, what's it require to be president? First of all, I got to know how to lie, cheat, steal, maneuver, and manipulate well, believably. Well, most people don't have the guts for that.
That's what I was wondering.
It takes too much commitment if you're gonna rise in the level of presidential campaign.
Well, and risk.
First of all, you got to start locally. Then you got to go to state, and then you got to make your chops at the state. Then you got to run. So, it takes a lot of commitment to maneuvering around issues of power. And most people aren't willing to put that kind of commitment in.
Is it the commitment that's the hesitating point, or is it the willingness of risk, to embrace risk? And you put all your eggs in that basket, and then you don't get your election?
Well, you do something.
Or you hack off your number one campaign donor, and all of a sudden, whoops. And there are risks associated with that.
Right. A lot of people have fallback positions. They go back to law. Or business.
Or meth? Was that what you were going to say?
What?
Meth?
No. Well, if you're going to be a meth lab, but you really got to have guts for that one to run. So most of them have fallback position because they're not stupid. But it takes a lot of drive if you're going to be a politician. There's an awful lot of schmoozing going on.
It's interesting. You said they're not stupid, and my immediate thought was, so arrogance overcomes intelligence?
Oh, hell yes. I mean, yes, it does. Oh, yeah. You'll betcha.
That could be the campaign button?
Oh, yeah. Right. The difficulty is with some campaign, you can't speak the truth about process. You can't have a campaign button that says, everybody lies, let's make the best of it. That's not going to work.
Oh, yeah, we could. May not win, but they would remember us, wouldn't they?
You certainly won't win.
Yeah, I'd be like Oscar Klee.
And what'd he do?
I remember him running for office a couple times, Congress, I believe. You know, vote for Oscar Klee. He had his little jingle, and that was kind of one of the things.
Oh.
I'm not as bad as the other guy.
Oh.
KINS, News and Information Time at 3:30.
Faint praise.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, the concept of celebratory events, whether it's for an occasion.
I can't even say that word.
I know. Well, I had to, I used the break.
Okay.
You know, I had to build up to that one.
Get your tongue untied.
That's right. And it's kind of a
celebratory
cool word.
Events.
Is that a cool word?
I love that
celebratory
word.
Celebratory, yeah. So. Whether it's an event, a person, an accomplishment, how do you normalize it so that it's still recognition, but it doesn't become something that takes on its own life or doesn't achieve the expectations folks have, and it becomes almost a disincentive or a non-celebratory event.
Would you have an example of that?
Sure. We're going to celebrate the fact that somebody, passed, let's say, a test.
Oh.
Okay. Now, some people could never pass the test, and they put them up on the pedestal.
Well done. Here's a nickel. Go away.
Along those lines, yes.
Right. Well, why would you celebrate passing a test?
Well, let's say it's a bar test.
Lawyer. A big one.
A significant
one.
Yeah, not just.
Graduate from medical school.
Not the math quiz.
They graduate from medical school.
Yeah. Your master's thesis is accepted.
So you have a party for them, and you say, hey, everybody, Bill's got his thesis, master's. They go, yay, and then the hubbub dies down and people go back talking to each other. It's over. Right. As opposed to, Bill, I want you to come over here, and I want everybody to sit in front of Bill on your hands and knees and bow and genuflect. And now, Bill, I want you to tell everybody how hard it was for you and how much you worked and how difficult it was and how grateful you are that you've had the discipline and the training in order to make this thing happen. Oh, Lord, that gets really painful after a while, right?
Or on the flip side,
somebody gets their master's, it's because they worked for it.
Yeah, they busted their chops,
right.
Accomplished the goal,
and, so you go,
and everybody yawns.
And you say, well done, Bill. And you give a round of applause for Bill. He's got his master's. And then it's over. Then you go about cake and coffee and visit.
The normal.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I've known of one fella who got his medical degree, had a family event. And the questions range from, well, why didn't you go into brain surgery instead of this? How come it took you so long? Why didn't you come through this school or that?
Right.
It was almost like kneecapping attempts.
Pick, that's right.
Instead of saying, I'm a doctor. I know how to kill you. Knock it off.
Well, you know what they call somebody who graduates the bottom of his class?
Doctor.
Doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people are like that. They can't stomach somebody else winning something that they haven't done. My mother taught
me. Just pure jealousy?
Yeah, with this whiny, snivelly, mealy, pukey crap.
Okay.
My mother taught me never rain on somebody else's parade. Be happy for them. And I took it seriously, and I do. So if someone graduates from medical school, I say, fantastic, good for you. What's your specialty? Well, I'm a proctologist. Oh, really? Why didn't you go into brain surgery?
Yeah. Well, I kind of did, if you think about it.
That proctologist and the psychiatrist went into practice. They advertised themselves as odds and ends.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry. I couldn't help myself there.
No, that works. Yeah, well, apparently mom didn't teach you everything, huh? No.
Well, it's clean.
Yeah.
I mean, I can say that on the radio.
Of course.
Can't say what I'm thinking, but I can say that on the radio.
Neither can I.
And that's why we're good at what we do.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. So how do you deal with accolades? Whether it's something like this, that's a well-earned one,
when somebody
or people going up and say, oh, you're Lou Quimby.
Oh, God. I said, get away from me.
Oh.
Get away from me.
Well, which is what the image is about you.
No.
Well,
no.
That's why I'm here. I love what you, the starstruck thing.
Get away from me. What is the problem with adulation anyway? What is the problem with that?
Within normal bounds? Nothing.
If people adulate you, then what's going to happen to you when you fart in bed? What's going to happen to you when you make an ordinary mistake?
I wouldn't imagine that there would be much repercussions, but obviously it would be the wrong question to continue this discussion. Well, so I'll say,
let me put it, shatter and fall. Let me put it differently then. If somebody puts you on a pedestal, how many degrees of movement do you have?
360.
No, you've only got one.
Really?
Down.
Oh, I thought you could spin.
No.
That's what I was thinking.
No.
Oh.
People don't allow you that.
Boy, I don't do question and answers real well on Friday, do I?
I know you do.
Yeah, okay.
If you've only got one movement on a pedestal and that's down, then it's wise to step away from somebody offering you the pedestal. That's the adulation.
So if you buy into it.
I excuse myself and go to the bathroom. I know, but these people will buttonhole you and
slobber
all over you and press you and go, oh, God, you're going to have it.
Well, that's probably why those who are athletes, celebrities, movie stars, et cetera,
well, a lot of them
have
that
the
up.
Entourage around them so that they can pick and choose.
That's a protection ring.
Yeah.
Right, and a lot of them eat it up, too.
That would be weird, wouldn't it?
What, having an ego that wants to be stroked all the time?
To that extent. Have you had the opportunity to sit and put them on the couch, so to speak, and talk to them?
Those kind of people?
Do they
don't go to therapy.
Well, I didn't think. I thought maybe you had found a couple of fallen stars.
Oh, no. Those kind of people don't go to therapy.
Oh.
They drink or use drugs or something else, but they don't go to therapy.
So rarely do they resume their mortal
coil, as it were.
Yes, I was trying to stay away from
it. Right. Yeah, right. No, they use other things. They have affairs. They use drugs, so they drink, or they get grandiose, or they wrap themselves in their own ideas. And
so they never come home and hang out with the people that knew them when they were normal and get normal?
Exactly. Now, healthy ones do.
Okay.
But most people who go into something to get their ego stroked don't want to be ordinary. They live on the adulation. Now, there are some people that indicate that they don't do that. If you look at Jack Nicholson in his last years, he's kind of a regular guy. A strange regular guy, but he doesn't need the strokes anymore from that. He just goes out and has a good time.
Kind of like Carson was.
Yeah.
Towards the end.
Right,
yeah.
And poor Johnny, after being married, four times, he finally got it. And it wasn't about women. It was about him. So,
can I take a break?
Okay.
I just want to clear it.
Clear it, yeah.
Because you're such a guy that I want to pay attention to.
Oh, break.
Yeah, okay. KINS, break, commercial break. I got you, okay. It's 3:43. We'll be back. Final segment with Lou Quimby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions, 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass, 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:47. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby.
We certainly are. Such as it is.
Yeah, it's another one of those sad, sad situations where the commercial breaks
light, loopy
are
day.
Far more fun than and we've been having halfway fun today, so that's not too bad. Got a three-day weekend going into the fall. I know some people suffer from, what is it, sunshine deprivation. I mean, that's kind of
SAD.
How I see it.
Okay. Seasonal affective disorder.
If you are one of those.
Humboldt County is one of the few places in the world where you can get it in the summer.
Yeah. Is that a chemical reaction? It's a genetic.
Chemical.
It's not a psychological condition?
It's
or
chemical.
Is it?
Yeah, genetic. It's chemical.
So there's really nothing you can do other than find sunshine or
buy those sunlight lights, and you sit under the sunlight lights a couple hours a day. If you live in Vancouver or Anchorage or something like that.
Yeah, I could see Anchorage in the middle of winter getting cabin crazy or stir crazy.
Right, you sit under the sunlight lights, not sun lamps, but sunlight lights.
The real deal.
Yeah. It imitates sunlight. And you sit under that for a couple hours a day and read or do your dishes or sew or whatever. And that helps alleviate the seasonal affective disorder. But it is curious that people in Humboldt get it just because they're angry because it's so darn foggy. And it didn't bother me at all, but it does bother some people.
Is there a cultural tendency for that?
For sadness?
Yeah.
You mean?
Yeah.
In general? Gee, I don't... That's an interesting idea. Are some cultures sadder than others? It depends. Are you Norwegian?
Moi?
I don't know if northern climates generate more sadness or more depression or more isolation. Yeah, if you're in a village and you can't get out, some people adapt to that without getting all bent out of shape. Some people have road rage in the middle of Los Angeles freeways. I don't know if that's cultural or not. I think it's societal, but I don't know whether it's culturally determined. And then if people don't have any, or they have less impulse control than usual, put them in an L.A. freeway, you're bound to get something happen.
A couple good news stories out of it, huh?
Yeah. It has to do with the hopes, expectations, and planning again. I figure if I went to a workshop in San Diego and I drove up from San Diego through San Diego and then Los Angeles, and I decided ahead of time, okay, I'm just going to put one foot in front of the other, get in the two-passenger lane on the left, and just drive. Pay attention. Stay out of trouble with traffic. And it's about driving, not feeling.
Good. Glad to see you're not using those things out in front of the car anymore.
That's right.
Thanks for coming by. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody else. See you tomorrow.